Would you join me in prayer as we start? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to deliver your words today. I pray, Lord, that you would allow me to be an honourable vessel for the words that you want to speak to your people. I pray, God, that every word that comes out of my mouth this morning would be life and light to all who hear it, and that, God, that you would build faith in us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I pray, Lord, that as we learn about your word, faith would rise up in us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's the beginning of a new year, and that unfortunately means that we are forced, whether we want to or not, to think about New Year's resolutions. How many people have got like overachieving friends, you know, that have already got their resolutions already done? Yeah. And they're just annoying. You know, they're like, oh, I'm so ready for this year. And you're like, oh, yeah. And then we come up with lame, like, you know, like, well, what do you want to do this year? Well, I just want to do better than last year. Or I'd like stuff, you know. I'd like to do a few things. It's actually biblical to look at every year as a cycle. The Apostle Paul said that we needed to make sure we're doing new things this year than what we were doing last year. So it's important for us to continually be moving forward. But the thing is, when you start setting goals, something always invariably has to be at the top of the list. Something has to be at the top, which means something else has to be second and something else has to be third. I do think that, again, if we go back to our overachieving friends, there's people who just, you know, like, you're talking about your one goal and they're talking about their 37. You know, and they're like, well, I just have a capacity for a really big bullseye. I'm just like, I'm sorry that you can only do one, but I can do so many. Well, God bless you. The reality is that we have to prioritise eventually what we're going to do with our year. So if we're Jesus-loving Christians, how are we supposed to do that? What are we supposed to do when we're faced with the beginning of a new year and we're thinking, okay, what am I meant to do? What does God want me to do this year? How are we meant to come up with goals that God wants us to go after? I think it's a great question, and I think the Bible actually makes it very simple. But here's the thing with the Bible, it actually is a lot more simple than we make it out to be. We make it complicated because we read things when the Bible says do this or don't do that. And then we say, well, yeah, but under these circumstances, you could do it, right? Or under those circumstances, it's like, no, the Bible didn't say that, just said do or don't, real simple. And there is a reality that the process we are meant to follow to set what we believe God wants us to do this year is actually very simple. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have flown on an aeroplane? Notice I didn't say airplane. Aeroplane. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Now, I know that that aeroplane journey went well because you are sitting here. So I know that you didn't die. I know that it was a fabulous experience. And even though there might have been a little turbulence, maybe you even got diverted. Maybe something happened on the flight. Maybe you didn't get all the food that you were meant to be served, but you made it. You made it. Now, why did you make it? Well, I can tell you with great certainty why you made it. Number one, you had a very reliable aeroplane that you were on that was well maintained. And number two, you had wonderful pilots that followed everything they were meant to do in order to get you to your destination. Now, here's the wonderful thing about pilots. They are probably one of the most disciplined people in the world, because they have to follow checklists, because if they don't, planes fall out of the sky and people die. And that's not been very good for the airline industry in the past. So they have checklists. This is a checklist for a 767. I also asked a friend of mine who's a pilot here in the church. He's actually not here today. He's in another part of the country flying. And I said to him, how many items are on your checklist before you even take off on the end of the runway? He said, well, there's 85 things we have to check by walking around the plane first. 85. Then we get in the plane, and then there's another 75 things we check when we're in the cockpit before we even get to the end of the runway. That's 160 things to check. Now, are you glad things that they check? Do we have fuel? I mean, you're glad they check this, right? You know, are the wings still attached? Yes, yes. There's a whole lot of things that they check to make sure that they're going to get you to your destination. When we are working out what we are going to target for this year, what God wants us to go after, we actually have our own pre-flight checklist. that Jesus himself gave us in his greatest Sermon on the Mount. It's actually very, very simple. And he lays out a 12-step plan. This is 160 steps. We just have 12. There are 12 steps to make sure that we've got right, so that when we actually go to work out what we're going to achieve this year, we do it the right way. Now, the interesting thing is that the list is in the complete opposite order that you and I would write it in. Guaranteed, if you and I were writing it, we would have written it in the exact opposite order, which is why we didn't write the Bible. God did. This is why Jesus was Jesus. There's a whole lot of things that Jesus said, you need to do all these things. And if you don't, the plane's going to crash. So I don't want your plane to crash in 2022. I want you to successfully get to your destination. Now, it's all outlined in one chapter, Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to read a whole chapter of the Bible because I don't like to build theology on a verse or just pick out a word. I just don't like to do that. I want you to have context. And it's not often I get the opportunity to read a whole chapter of the Bible. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to read Matthew chapter 6 together. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, if you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Now, I don't get the chance very often for us to pray the Lord's Prayer together out loud, but I think considering it's in the scripture today, it's a good opportunity. So can we pray the Lord's Prayer together out loud? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Why do you do this? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows the things that you need all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The word of the Lord. Isn't God's word good? And so we can't ever forget it. So here we go. The pre-flight checklist. It's all there. Number one, are we doing good things to help people? But not so they'll think we're awesome. They'll think God is awesome. Number one, when you're doing things, you're not doing things to make yourself look good. Number two, are we trying to do as much good as we can in secret without posting it on social media? Selfies. Oh, here I am at Feed My Starving Children, helping the poor people of the world, doing my bit for Pearl. Listen, I love it if you go to Feed My Starving Children. And if you take a photo, great. Do it to promote other people helping. But don't do it to make yourself like feel good, like you're doing something good, or just to share with people how noble you are. That's part of the checklist. Make sure that, you know, your whole life doesn't revolve around a photo opportunity. Make sure your life revolves around God. Number three, when we pray, we don't go on and on and on with long prayers in front of other people to try and sound more spiritual. We don't have to try and sound more spiritual to other people. We just need to pray as us, the way we pray. Number four, have we realized that there are actually rewards to prayer? Prayer works. If you don't realize prayer works, what won't you do? You won't pray. So Jesus says, listen, part of the pre-flight checklist is you've got to understand that this year is going to involve some prayer. Just letting you know, giving you a heads up, might be a few bumps along the way that you kind of need to pray about. I think Jesus is also saying, and by the way, if you pray about something you think you need and I don't give it to you, it just means you didn't need it. Yeah, but we're good at telling God why we need things. God, I need you to give me this new job. I need you to give me a pay rise. I need you to fulfill this thing. God's like, oh, I've got my own personal eternal agenda for you. So if you get it, means you need it. If you didn't get it, you didn't need it. Real simple. Number five, do we know what to pray when we don't know what to pray? How many times will you find yourself in this year where you're in a position where you don't know what to pray? You're like, I don't even know. Like, why isn't God doing this? You've got the Lord's Prayer. Why don't we pray the Lord's Prayer more? Why isn't it part of our daily routine? Give us this day our daily bread. I'm pretty sure it was meant to be a repetitive prayer. But we only pray it at funerals and, you know, once every now and then in church. But Jesus said, hey, listen, well, you don't know what to pray. Pray this. This is gold. Then we get to number six. Now, I think the first five, Jesus was kind of just easing the people listening to this sermon. He was easing them in because they get progressively harder. And this is where it starts to take a little bit of a turn for getting a bit more difficult. Number six, do we have unforgiveness towards anyone? Because if you take off this year and there's somebody in your life you haven't forgiven, you will crash. You will not make it to your destination. I want you to hit the bullseye that God has for you this year. But if you've got unforgiveness, you won't hit it. I'm not saying that, Jesus is. I think it's interesting that the only verse that Jesus highlights from the Lord's Prayer is the line about forgiveness. So he gives us the whole Lord's Prayer, and then he says the very next verse afterwards. By the way, I just want to clarify the whole forgiveness thing. It's really important for you to forgive other people, because if you don't, God can't forgive you. And you're going to have an eternal problem if you do that. You're not going to just have a problem in this life. You're going to have an eternal problem. If you and I carry unforgiveness towards anybody for any reason, no matter how heinous or horrible they've done something to you, if you have unforgiveness towards them, you will crash and burn. You won't hit the bullseye. So make sure you get rid of that in the pre-flight check. Number seven, do we understand the power of fasting? I think most Christians fast when something's really, really bad. I think when we have the 21 days of prayer and fasting, people go, yeah, totally going to do that. Just for the super spiritual people, but I'm not doing it. Or you fast breakfast one day, which is just because you didn't get up early and have breakfast in time. Fasting works. There's a reason why it's in the Bible. Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say, if you have a really bad time, fast. He said, when you fast. So there's the expectation. Fasting will be a part of your 2022. It just will. Number eight, are we working towards material possessions? When you set your goals for 2022, are they just all about material things? How much money you want to have in the bank account? What kind of house you have? Or whether you're promotion in your job? Because he then goes on and says, listen, there's no point storing up things here because you can't take it with you. Paul wrote to Timothy and reminded Timothy, Timothy, I just want you to know, 1 Timothy chapter 6, it's certain we brought nothing into this world and it's certain we'll carry nothing out. So whatever you store up now, whatever you want on your checklist of things that you think God wants you to seek after this year, is it just about material stuff for the sake of material stuff? Number nine, do you think about your heavenly bank account? Because Jesus said, listen, what you should actually be thinking about are the treasures in heaven. So you should be thinking about, what am I doing this year that's going to have an eternal lasting impact versus something that's only going to have an impact for me while I'm alive on this planet? Or am I just thinking about the things that attach to me personally while I'm alive? See, there's a long-term savings plan in heaven that works. And no government mismanagement or financial mismanagement can mess it up. It's safe and secure. And that's God. That's because it's in his bank. Number 10, do you have any compromises in your life? Because Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. Now, mammon's a very interesting word. It's actually an Aramaic word that we think is derived from a Hebrew word, ammon. And what it means is it means something that we have to have, the spirit of something we have to have. It's not just about money. It gets used a lot, talk about money, but it's actually about this is something I have to have. If I have this, then I'll be fine. Jesus says, no, you can't serve that. See, compromise is anytime you do something that's not according to the word of God. Every time you do something that God's word says, don't do that, and you do it, that's compromise. So if you've got that in your life, and then you go and set goals for 2022, the plane's going down. I don't want the plane to go down. I hope you're tracking with me. I'm trying to set you up here, okay? This is us walking around, kicking the tires, going, ooh, bit of a flat tire. Let's pump that one up. Otherwise, that would have given us some problems on landing. Do you see it? This is what we're doing today. Number 11, have you stopped worrying about everything? This is something that I'm pretty sure Jesus, when he said, knew that most Christians would be terrible at. Because I actually think Christians are worse at worrying than non-Christians. And I'm still developing my theory on why that is. I think it's because we associate care with worry. Like if we tell people we're worried about things, it means we care. I'm so worried. I'm so worried. Are you worried? I'm worried about the world right now. I'm just so worried. Just really worried. Oh, that means you care. Yes, because I'm worried. Yes, yes, yeah. And people will say to you, you must be worried. And you're like, well, I wasn't, but I am now. Thank you very much for instilling that in me. And so we, and then we have worry trophy cabinets. Oh, this is what I'm worrying about. Yes, worried about this. Worried this. And this is a really big worry. That looks a lot like your husband. Yes, yes, yeah. We do that because subconsciously maybe we think that that shows that we care. But Jesus, he said, no, no, no. I don't want you to worry about anything. And then he actually says, listen, I'm going to prove to you why I don't want you to worry about anything. And I actually tried to think about how to say this in an Australian way, because I use all these words. And then my kids look at me, they're like, Dad, nobody says that. I'm like, have a chook, have a gander, have a... Nothing. Just doesn't work. Jesus says, have a look at the birds. Do you see them? Do they look like they've got enough food? Right. Okay, duh brain. This is the paraphrase. If I'm taking care of them, don't you think I'm going to take care of you? Because I actually value you more than them. Yeah, which is a little surprise to some of you with pets. And I know you love your dogs and the cat lovers. All good. You're still going to heaven. But here's the thing. Jesus loves you more than your pets. Do you understand that? And he says, if I'm taking care of them, I'm going to take care of you. So don't worry. Worrying is not going to change anything. If you want to change something, how about try fasting? Remember, we covered that one. Don't worry, fast. Pray. Don't worry, pray. 1 Thessalonians tells us very clearly. Paul says, listen, pray without ceasing. Always. And then Jesus says something that I think is actually a little bit of a slap, to be honest with you. He says, I want you to know that if you do worry, it can only mean one thing. You don't trust me. You don't trust me. You don't think I'm good for my word. Because I told you I'd take care of all your needs, and yet you are worried. So you think I'm not. Now, we kind of go, well, no, 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 Jesus, it's not that. It's not that I, you know, like, sorry, you know, I didn't mean to offend you, Jesus. Oh, sorry, that's right, you, Jesus, you don't get offended. Jesus is not offended. He just looks at us and says, this is what I did for you. I've already told you. So if I've told you, trust me, I'm good for my word. He says, you know what? I already know everything you need. I already know it. And then he gets to number 12, which is kind of the mic drop moment. And he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So we have two alternatives. Worry or seek God first. Which one do you think the devil wants us to do? Which one do you think God wants us to do? Seek God first. Which is the one that we do the most? Worry. Which is the thing that we don't do the most? Seek God first. So what we're trying to do with the pre-flight checklist this year is get it round the right way so that when we take off, we know where we're going. And we know if we're successfully going to land on December 31, 2022. What does it mean to seek first God and his righteousness? The Greek word that's used for seek, it's a Greek word called zeteo, and it means to continually seek, to never stop seeking. You and I are not meant to seek God once and then say, well, I sought God and that's it. No, we're meant to be seeking God in every situation in life, everything that we find ourselves in. We're meant to be seeking God. What is it you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? Never meant to stop it. We're meant to have God's presence and direction in our life for all things. Think about that. That means that as you go through 2022, you might be going to a meeting somewhere, meet with some people or a person, and God says to you, hey, listen, I want you to pray for this person for healing. They need some healing. Well, obviously I'm not going to do that because I'm a business person and, you know, I might lose the deal if I do that. So I'll call Pastor Anthony and get one of the pastors to go do that. And God says, no, 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 you sought me first. I told you to go pray. This is how God works. God's not limited to using pastors for people being healed through prayer. No, our job is to equip you for the work of the ministry. Guess who does the work? Yeah. So as you seek first God this year, you've got to seek him and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? Jesus is demanding righteousness from us. What is righteousness? Again, another amazing Greek word, dikaiosune, which means things that are judged right by God. In other words, the only things that should be on our list of what we're going to seek after, our goals for 2022, are things that should be, that God looks at and says, yes, that's right. Not things that we think are right, things that he thinks are right. Jesus says, I want you to totally align yourself with everything my Father says. I want you to totally align myself with everything that's in the Word of God. And don't let anything else get in the road of that. And if you do, I'll meet every need. All worry will do is stop you seeking God. What are you doing if you're worrying? You're not seeking God. If you're seeking God, you're not worrying. What does that mean? If you're worrying, it means that you'll never be righteous. You'll never be seeking after righteousness because God doesn't want you to seek after worry. So every time you worry, you're being disobedient and doing something. God says, don't do that. Now, what God's asking us hasn't been different from Genesis to Revelation. God said in Exodus chapter 13, said, listen, I want you to sacrifice the firstborn. I want your firstborn children to be redeemed. Now, we don't live in those times anymore because Jesus came. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was the great redeemer. But that's why Jesus was able to ask here, sacrifice all the things you want to seek after and seek after the things that my Father wants you to seek after. See, we have to sacrifice all the things that we would put on our list. I think when we're seeking after God, we don't often seek God first, we seek him second. In other words, we think about all our goals. Well, this is what I want to do in my business. This is what I want to do in my family. This is what I want to do in my relationships. This is what I want to do. And then we go, okay, what do I want to do for God? Well, would I like to serve on a weekend? Because Pastor Joey keeps asking me all the time and I've said no and I've had really good reasons up until now. I think I can put him off for another year. Or do we say, you know what? Hey, my goal, number one, like I want to serve. I want to serve God. I want to serve the body of Christ. Number two, I want to grow in wisdom, stature, and favor of men and favor with God, just like Jesus. Imagine if this was what our goals were, instead of like slotting in God at number 42. No, seek first him. C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest authors of the 20th century, he said this about getting this right and wrong, first and second. He said, when you put first things first, we get the second things thrown in. When you put second things first, we lose both first and second things. When you put your goals at the top of the list, you'll get nothing achieved. When you seek God first and then your goals are second and they're righteous in his sight, they'll all work. This is the formula. Isn't this an amazing checklist? I hope you're grabbing a hold of it. Listen, I've learned this lesson in my life. I'm still learning it, okay? And I haven't learnt it. I'm learning and I'm still getting there. And I've learnt it in a very hard way. When I was a young man, I asked God what he wanted my mission in life to be. I realized that if I was going to serve God, I had to have a mission to come under. That's what submission is. It means coming under a mission. So I had to come under his mission for my life. So I asked God, I said, what is that mission that you want me to come under? And this is what I wrote down. To passionately live to my potential in Christ and to equip, encourage, inspire, and challenge everybody I meet to do the same. That's my mission in life. That's been my filter for setting New Year's resolutions for the last 30 years. I've done my best to live to that mission. But it's set opportunities for me to make some pretty big sacrifices and it's cost me a lot, I'll be honest with you. I grew up in Australia, poor. And then I became a CPA. And I was a CPA for 14 years. And then I was a CEO executive in my early 30s. God's blessing was on my life. Part of church, enjoyed doing everything I could for the kingdom of God. And then God said, I want you to give it all up. And I want you to go to somewhere that's really cold. I like living in Australia because it's not cold. I liked having money because I grew up poor and I liked being able to be generous. And I just kind of thought, oh, well, I guess if God's asking me to do something different, then that's what he's asking me to do. So my wife and I gave it up. But we've always tithed, always. I wouldn't say I was very good at it when I was young. I wasn't good at it when I was a teenager. I always thought, oh, well, when I earn more money, but I wish I had started when I just earned 20 cents and just tithed 2 cents, to be honest with you. Would have been way easier. It's way harder to learn tithing when you earn a lot of money because it's like, oh, that's a lot of money. When you're earning 20 cents, it's not a lot. But you understand the principle. And so my wife and I have always put God first. We've always understood and believed and seen that a blessed 90% is better than an unblessed 100. We've seen that. And so God asked me to lay down all the things I wanted to do in Australia. So I gave them up. Came here. He didn't punish me. He blessed me. I'm in relationship with you guys and being your pastor. Get to see the champions that you are. My wife has had an amazing career, risen to the very top in her field and still going. She'll be running the world soon. We gave up a good income and God has replaced all this. I'm just telling you the story because I've lived this, okay? I'm not just preaching it. I live this. God's replaced everything we had, have given up and more. We have more money now than we did when I was a CEO. And it's not because I get paid a lot by River Valley, just in case you're wondering. We have the opportunity to do a lot of things. We're good stewards with our money and with our finances. And I was a property developer and knew how to do some of those things. And so God allows us to generate an income doing those things. But I'm still cold. There's been many goals my wife and I had that God, they were very noble goals. We thought for sure they were what God wanted us to do. And God said, no, I need you to lay those down for this year anyway. And then many years later, they came to pass. I was like, oh, I see what you did there, God. See, God has different strategies than you and I. And I don't think we'd have a problem if we just realized that putting God first is an acknowledgement of who he is. He's first. In the beginning, God. God was first. God is first. God gave his son first before you and I could do anything to earn it. Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before you could do anything for Jesus, he did something for you. He offers us salvation first. He says, I will offer you salvation before you've gotten your life together. I'll give you a gift first before you think you deserve it. And then he says, I've got a plan for you. 2 Timothy. He writes to Timothy. Now you've got to remember Timmy, he was called Timmy. Because he was very timid. He was a complete opposite personality to Paul. The Apostle Paul had to tell Timothy 25 times in one book alone, be bold. Nobody ever said that to Paul, just little Tim. So he writes to him, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us, Jesus, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ before time began. God had a plan for your life in 2022 before time was even created by him. That's mind-blowing. Firstly, the fact that God created time, he doesn't need time, we need it. And the fact that he had a plan for you before that began. Let me tell you this. God does not need our help setting goals. He just needs us to be obedient. He's not looking for a little bit of help. He just wants us to listen to him. Seek first and he'll give you the goals. Seek first and the plane will get to its destination. And when you seek God first, all your plans and goals, they'll align with eternal purposes, not just your purposes. Not just my purposes, his purposes. So let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person in this room, God. I pray, Lord, that you would just allow them, Lord, right now to be in a position where, God, that you can just speak to them. I pray, Lord, for anybody just struggling with worry, Lord, right now, for them to be replaced with peace in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, for whatever those circumstances are, that, God, that you would just bring peace into their heart, even though there's no understanding as to why, God, there's just pure peace. And I pray, Lord, that you would let every single one of us seek first your kingdom and allow all these things to be added unto us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Best thing you can do with your life is seek Jesus. And every service, we always give people an opportunity to seek Jesus and respond to him, accept his free gift of salvation, or come back into relationship with him. That's no different this service. See, Jesus wants to offer you a gift before you can do anything for him. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes? We're not going to take a long time to do this. I'm certainly not going to embarrass anybody or call people out, but I am going to give you an opportunity to respond privately. If you today would love to come into relationship with Jesus Christ or come back into relationship with him, would you just lift your hand and say, yeah, I need Jesus today. I've been away from him, or I need to come back into relationship. Just lift your hand and say, yeah, I need Jesus today. I need Jesus. I see your hand. I see your hand. Just say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Maybe you need to come back to Jesus. Maybe you've walked away. You're like, I don't deserve. Jesus says, listen, you deserve it because I love you. I got a purpose and a plan for you 2022. Don't leave me out of your 2022. Jesus says, come back to me so that I can feed you in 2022. If that's you, just lift your hand. Just lift your hand. Say, yeah, Jesus, I need you. I'm coming back to you. Open arms and I'm ready. I'm ready to do whatever it is that you want me to do in Jesus' name. I see your hand. I see your hand. While every head's bowed and every eye's closed, I want those people who raise their hands to pray this prayer. We pray this prayer because Jesus said in Matthew 10, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. So that's why we pray this prayer. Let's all pray it out loud together. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I repent of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Please come into my heart today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, and I'll live for you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.